I'm just so parents know there's some water outside for kids and there's a little snack, so they're well looked out after out there. They'll come in if they need you. And again, for those who'd want a play space for their younger kids, down the hall and the last room on the left, and there's a bunch of toys in there. Let's pray together. God, this morning through song, we have been reminded that we are your beloved guest and that you invite us to stay close to you. And then through song again and through our singing, we have said, be still and know that I am God. And we pray that in this time of listening, that we will hear you. In this time of being still together, that we will be encouraged by you. Thank you that you are faithful, that you love us as individuals, that you love us as a gathering church. And we thank you that you are here this morning. Amen. So I really, really love to swim. I love being in the water. And because I really love to swim, I wanted to pass this along to my kids. And so with Jordan, I tried and tried to make him into a swimmer. So Jordan, under his mom's encouragement, was in, I would say, loads of swimming lessons. He was spent hours in pools and in lakes with his mom saying, Jordan, let go of the noodle. You can do it. You can trust me. I tried words of encouragement. Terry and I tried bribes. How about a new Pokemon game? But nothing worked. Absolutely nothing worked. And Jordan really did not, and he still does not like the water. And he certainly doesn't like the thought of being asked to swim. But I really did persist for many, many years. Like up until 3 years ago, maybe, Jordan, I persisted. And I just kept saying to him, Jordan, you can float. If you just trust, you will be able to float. And I remember really well when Jordan was about 7, and once again, I had registered him for swimming lessons. And as we walked out under the pool deck, and Jordan was introduced to his new instructor, Jordan, in just classic Jordan ways, looked up at his instructor and he said, do you trust in God? And this young swimming instructor was a little bit flustered, and I remember his cheeks went quite red. And then he said, oh, yeah, I trust in God. And then Jordan said, good, then I trust that you won't let me sink. So trust is this little word, and yet it has a great depth of meaning. What does trust mean to you? What is a picture of trust that you have? Or what allows you to trust in someone or in something? What allows you to trust in God? What have your experiences, your understanding of God been so that you can trust in God? Trust is defined as a firm belief in the reliability, in the truth, in the ability or the strength, or I'd say, and the strength of someone or something. Trust, a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or the strength of someone or something. Words that are similar to trust are confidence, belief, faith, sureness, certainty. We can build relationships on trust. Trust is something that can grow. And trust is also something that can be broken. It can be taken away. Terry and I just returned from a wonderful vacation in Scotland. It was great. The land there is very, very beautiful, and the people, we found them to be very easygoing and welcoming. But the roads were very, very windy. And I mean like really, really windy. Miles and miles and miles of very windy roads. And we experienced many, many, many blind corners. So we were also driving on the wrong side of the road, and we were driving a standard car. So we had, you know, lots of newness going on. And I don't love being a passenger at the best of times. And so for the first hour, I found myself in the car with like really, really clenched fists. I was trying every breathing exercise I know to keep me kind of grounded, as I would say. And every so often, with great help to my husband, I'd let out little shrieks. So I knew that holding this level of stress would not make for a great vacation for me or for Terry, who was driving. And so I shifted into statements of trust. And I really had to do this. Statements I would say to myself are that the drivers know to stay in their lane. The drivers know what it means to stop at these little passing spots, and they'll stay there. That I can trust in Terry's driving skills because he has a really good track record and he wants to keep us safe. And that we would be okay. We were really going to be okay. And that I was welcome to enjoy this vacation. And I actually began to enjoy these windy roads. These blind turns just became like, Terry and I started talking about who made these roads like this? Like, who was the designer of these roads? How did this actually happen? And I allowed myself to see the beauty all around me, the beauty of the highlands and of the water and of these magnificent clouds that we saw all around us. And so I shifted from distrust and fear to trust, and I would say almost confidence. But I need to add that at the beginning of every day, as soon as I would sit down in this passenger seat, I would have to remind myself again and go through the exercise of saying, I can trust Terry. I can trust that we're going to be okay today. I would pause. I would take a big breath. I would pray, and I would really, really work on grounding myself. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 offers us a very bold instruction, or maybe we might say it's offered to us as an encouragement. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, to submit to God, and God will make your path straight. In the Amplified Version, this verse reads, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize God. And God will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. The Message, another more modern version, reads, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. God is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Sometimes we can read that with, don't assume you can know it all. But if we change that tone to a gentle tone of encouragement from God, it really relieves us to say we don't have to understand it all. We don't have to bring meaning to it because God is going to contribute to our understanding of that. So this summer, as you've heard from Amanda, the Gathering Church, we've entered into a season of prayer and discernment. We've chosen to do this in the summer where some of us are able to have a little bit of a slower pace or we have more spaciousness in our summertime. And together we are practicing some prayer postures that allow us to be listeners of God on behalf of the church and also for our own lives. And over the last 2 weeks, our posture was solitude. So hopefully you received an email that offered us some guidance of how we might enter into this. We're invited to go into time alone with God in quiet. And we're not going to take a test or evaluate one another, but I'm wondering, how did you do? How did you do? Did you take the opportunity to be still and to listen before God? And if you were able to take that time, what was your experience like? Did it take you a while to settle in? Did you crave more quiet time with God by the time these 2 weeks? Were you able to hear from God, hear something that sounded like God to you? As a reminder, we're invited to write down our words that we hear, the images that we receive, verses, songs, thoughts that we receive. We're invited to write them down. If you didn't get a journal, we can give you one today. And when we meet for our time of discerning together, we're going to use these booklets. We're going to use these words. So it's not a time to keep reviewing these over the summertime. Write down your thought and continue forward with your journey. And we're trusting that God is going to bring about unity when we begin to listen to one another and what we heard from God. The writer of Proverbs 3 invites us not to rely on our own insight or on our own understanding, but to acknowledge God's words and instruction. And this is just a really valuable reminder to us as we listen and discern this summer. We're invited, as I said, to write down what we hear, but not to spend a lot of time trying to figure it out. We as individuals are not going to figure out God's call for the church alone. We are a congregation, we are a gathered people of God, and so we're going to come back together and we're going to hear what God is speaking to us as individuals that then join us together as we hear as a community. And so this week, our posture of prayer and discernment is trust. Trust as a confidence that God does speak to us, that we have been created to hear his voice, and that God will speak to us with purpose and with direction. We believe that God speaks to us as individuals. This takes trust to believe that. Trust from the bottom of our hearts, as Proverbs 3 says. Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you." This sense of we who know God, God by name, God by his characteristics, that allows us to move into trusting God. Those who know your name trust in you. Throughout this time of prayer and discernment, we are invited to use Samuel's words to create a posture of trust for us. And so like Samuel, we are encouraged to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This is how we can begin each time when we're entering into intentional listening. Or you might want to use the words from the Message version this week that says, "Speak, God, I am your servant, ready to listen." Just changes it a little bit. It's an invitation. "Speak, God, I am your servant, and I am ready to listen." So I'm going to read now the account of where Samuel says, "Speak, God, for I am listening," from 1 Samuel 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Any parents with little children relating to this quite yet? "Go back, lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. God called again, "Samuel," the third time. Yet again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Yes, I heard you call me. Here I am." That's when it dawned on Eli that God was calling the boy. So Eli directed Samuel, "Go back and lie down. If the voice calls you again, say, 'Speak, God, I'm your servant, ready to listen.'" And Samuel returned to his bed. Then God came and stood before him exactly as before, calling out, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, I am your servant, ready to listen." And God said to Samuel, "Listen carefully." I believe that trust grows. It grows through experience, it grows through consistency, and it grows through taking risks. In 1 Samuel 3, we get to see the beginning of Samuel's relationship of trusting God. Verse 7 tells us that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, that the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. As we slow our pace and look into the details of this passage, my hope is that we will find some commonality in our journeys with God, bound through this story with Samuel and Eli. So what do we know about Samuel and Eli? We know that Samuel was involved in ministry under the mentorship of Eli. And we know that Eli was a Jewish priest living in the days of the judges and serving God at the tabernacle in a city near Ephraim. Eli is ending his years of ministry. And unfortunately, it's a very sad and complex ending that you might want to read about. We're finding a really good spot in Eli's story when we're reading this. And we know that Samuel is just at the beginning of his ministry. Their day of ministering, when we meet them in this account, their day of ministering had ended. Their day of tasks, they would have had very specific tasks, and they had both settled into sleep. But while still awake, the Lord calls out to Samuel. It's really important, I believe, for us to know that God initiates this interaction. I just think it's just so beautiful and loving on God's behalf. It's so important that we glean this from the message that it is God who calls Samuel by his name. And I just find this so very, very personal. It's not a hey, you. It's not a, you know, mysterious floating by. It's very, very, very personal. And I believe that God not only knows our names, but that he also chooses to address us by our names. He does this to get our attention or to offer us counsel or to reveal his love for us. And all throughout Scripture, we read that God addresses people by their names. It's a very, very common occurrence in the Bible. And Samuel heard God speak his name. And again, I find this so deeply personal. God spoke in a way that Samuel could hear. He spoke in a way that got Samuel's attention. Again, it wasn't greatly mysterious. It wasn't Samuel wondering what he was hearing. It was a very clear way for God to communicate. God was also very persistent and loving in calling out to Samuel. It wasn't a, sorry, Samuel, I tried it once and you didn't hear me. That's all you're getting. It's this very, very loving and patient calling out to Samuel until Samuel was able to recognize and to piece together that it was the Lord who was calling him. How beautiful God is. That it's not just this one time where it's not as digging and trying to listen in very specific ways. God is very generous when he speaks our name. And he is gracious in speaking and speaking until we recognize that it is God who is calling out for us. Eli plays a super important part in this account. Eli had already experienced God's voice in his life. He had a confidence that God speaks to individuals, and it is through Eli's encouragement and his instruction that Samuel goes back and postures himself to listen. I can only imagine how excited Eli was at the moment. Honestly, he would have been so excited. This young person that he had been investing in was now experiencing God in a brand new way, in a very, very personal way. As a faith community, we invest in our children and in our youth and each other through small groups and through meeting together on Sunday morning worship. And we seek to know about God, to grow our faith and to grow our faith practices. But what I think is the highest calling for all of us is for us to know God. For us to know God. I know a couple weeks ago, Terry and I, while we were in Scotland, listened to the service where Eli and Hazel and Meredith spoke. And it was just so exciting to hear youth and our youth leader talk about how they have grown in faith, grown in understanding of God. I specifically appreciated where Eli really said, I didn't know God spoke a lot about worry. But now Eli can hear God speak into worry and speak words of calm and peace in times of worry. So as we get to know God, we get to know that he speaks, that he reaches out to us and initiates his communication, that he provides love and comfort and strength and direction. Samuel had been involved in ministry. We're not sure of how many years yet, but from a young age. So he'd really been involved in ministry. And yet he had not yet experienced hearing God's voice. And to me, this clearly shows that there is a moment in Samuel's faith journey where he acknowledges hearing God for the very, very first time. I encourage each of us to invite God to call us by name. Anybody who's been in the women's group that I lead knows that this is a practice that I really encourage. It's just so beautiful to experience God saying your name. So I invite you, you could sit quietly and invite God just to say your name. You can simply say, God, I'm listening to hear my name. Or you could actually go about your day. Just go about your day. But give God that invitation as throughout my day, I open myself up to hearing you speak my name. It took a few times for Samuel to know that it was God's voice. We know that Samuel heard God's voice three times. It was a physical voice. In verse 8, Samuel says to Eli, I heard you call me. So this means that Samuel was hearing something. Three times he went to Eli and he said, you called me. So you might experience God speaking your name in an audible voice. You might be given that gift. You might hear him say your name. But it is more likely that you will hear God speak your name inside of you, in your heart, in your mind. And then when you hear God's voice say your name, that voice becomes really, really familiar. And that's where we develop this sense of trust, where we can say, I can trust this voice. I can trust this leading, this direction, this encouragement, because I am familiar with this voice. I have heard God say my name. How do we know this? Well, I think we can go back to a beautiful way that God created us. We are created with the ability to recognize voices. And studies reveal that a baby who is in womb can recognize voices. They say that around week 25 or 26, babies in the womb have been shown to respond to voices and to noise. And they say that the most significant sound that the baby hears in the womb is the voice of the mom and then the voice of the dad. And that in the third trimester, the baby can already recognize these voices, that they will respond with an increased heart rate that suggests that they are more alert when mom or dad talks, or that their heart rate decreases and a calm settles down when they recognize the voice of mom or dad. That wonderful ability to hear in womb voices that are loving and familiar to us was God-given. It's given to us. And also given to us is our ability to hear God speak to us. He has a voice that we can hear and that we can listen to and follow. So Samuel, with trust, opens himself to listen to God. He says, speak, God. I am your servant, ready to listen. And then God instructs Samuel to listen carefully. That's what he says. God says to Samuel, listen carefully. And we believe that God has things to say to us as individuals and to us as a church. And God, over this summer and always, but over this summer specifically, is inviting us to listen carefully. It's why we are being invited into times of stillness and of quiet, to set aside time for listening. And I believe that God can speak all throughout our days. It doesn't always mean we have to sit and be quiet. He can speak to us in busyness. He can speak to us when we're moving and in motion. He can speak to us when we're involved in routine tasks. Yet right now, we are invited to pause, to be intentional in our listening. Maybe you're familiar with it when a small child takes the parent's face or the caregiver's face and pulls it back and says, look in my eyes and listen to me, right? So the child takes that face and says, I want your full attention. And I believe that God gently is taking hold of our chins this summer and he's saying, listen carefully, listen carefully. As you have set aside this time, I have things that I want to say to you. So I encourage us to practice this summer. Posture ourselves to listen well. remember that in the journey, in this account of Samuel and Eli, that there was a first moment of Samuel hearing God's voice, and that might be what happens for you this summer. There might be a first moment where you say, that's God. God through his Spirit is speaking to me. Or you may feel like you're a seasoned listener and you know God's voice. And so I encourage us to renew our faith in that, to say, God, speak something new, speak something to the for the gathering church, and speak something new to me. Because we're in a summer of practicing postures, I'm going to invite us into 2 minutes of silence. We're going to do this each Sunday just to understand what it means to be still and to be quiet before God. Each week we're invited to start with 2 minutes and to allow that to grow up to 20, up to an hour if we are able, if we desire to. But let's start this morning with 2 minutes. And I invite us to say the words of Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." I invite you into closing your eyes, your hands raised, palms raised if you would like to, and I will look after timing us for 2 minutes. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. God, thank you that you are trustworthy. And if there are people here this morning that wonder about that statement, God, I pray that you would come close, that you would reveal yourself anew, that you would give comfort and guidance. Thank you that trust can be rebuilt, that trust grows, that trust can be our firm foundation. So I thank you that you are trustworthy. God, thank you that stillness and solitude are one, are ways that we can hear from you. Thank you, God, that you are the one who initiates speaking to us. Thank you that you have given us ears that can hear you. Thank you that you have much to say. God, thank you for the story of Samuel. And thank you for the days that went ahead of him, where he indeed listened and grew in being a faithful servant of yours. Give us the courage to take a risk, to trust in you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.